Let's turn to John and chapter 5. We'll be reading this evening verses 1 through 24. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 24. That the whole chapter is really one. I tried to split it in two to help us to consider a little bit more closely the first part of it. And so starting in verse 1 of John chapter 5, these are God's words. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it's not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk'?" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does these things, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Those are the words of God. Well, here, by the mercies of God, an angel was sent to stir the pool of water, which people, if they came, would be healed of their afflictions. And there was a man who had been ill for 38 years. And so you try to imagine that. But he could not get into the pool when it was stirred because he couldn't move. And it was only the first person who went into the pool that was healed. And if you noticed in end of verse 3 through 4, some of your translations don't have that. And yet it is there in the original. So Jesus heals the man without need of the pool. He wasn't able to get in the pool, so he healed him. But he doesn't do it by picking him up and waiting until the pool is stirred again, because it's Christ. He heals him by his almighty, powerful word. And this was the Sabbath day. And the Pharisaical Jews had made their own rules about the Sabbath. They were being legalists, because what were they doing? It wasn't that they were upholding the word, but they had added to the word, and so they were legalists. They made up their own rules, that you couldn't carry a pallet. And so they questioned the man, "Why are you carrying your pallets?" And he told them he was healed. And this man who healed him told him to carry his pallet. That's a good reason if someone healed you, because then you were a prophet or something like that, they would think. But then he knows, he finds out who it was. It was Jesus. And so he proclaims. What does he do? He goes and tells people about what happened, that Jesus healed him in fulfillment of what it talks about in the prophets, that the Messiah would come and he would heal people. And so now he's perhaps claiming that the Messiah has come. But he's talking about Jesus. And the Jews didn't like that. He's carrying his pallets, and then Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He's not supposed to do that either, apparently, in accordance with the Jews' rules, their legalism. And so they began persecuting Jesus. And Jesus responds to this. And he claims equality with God. So he's not helping his case against the Jews. It doesn't matter to him what they think of him. He already knows what they think of him. And he is going to be who he's going to be. So Jesus claims his equality with God the Father. And the Jews were all the more trying to kill Jesus then. And Jesus answered them again, "He, the Son, only does and can do what is the will of the Father." And that was the will of the Father to do. And then verse 21, he claims to be able to raise the dead and give life. You see all these things he's claiming, which will, in the end, lead to his crucifixion. Because they believe in all these things, he was blaspheming God, claiming to be God himself. And then he claims, the Father has given to him all the judgment, so that all would honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And yet it was the Jews who were not honoring the Son, so not honoring the Father. Notice that he claimed to be given all judgment. So that, as we're learning about the mediatorial king, he was given all judgment. And then he preaches the gospel to them, as he does to us every Lord's Day. He says in verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." But of course, many of the Jews would not believe his word. But we are called to believe it today. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you that you have enabled all of us to have your word, and the great advantages that we have because of that. And yet, Father, we plead now that you would cause us to believe your word, that we would believe that you are in Christ, you are the Son of the Father, and you are equal with him. For there is one God, and yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we praise you that you are the same in substance and equal in power and glory, as our confession and catechism say, and as even the creeds of the early church confess. And Father, we confess that together with the saints throughout history. And Father, we ask that you would bless your people, that we would not become, as we love your Sabbath, the fourth commandment, we would not become like the Pharisees or the legalistic Jews who add to your commandments. That we would not add to or make rules in order to keep those, or at least binding upon us to keep the Sabbath or any other commandment. And Father, we pray that you would reveal to us the greatness and the magnitude and the majesty of the commandments you've given to us, even the Sabbath day. And you have done that for all of us over time. We pray that you would continue growing us in knowledge of your commandments. And all these commandments we heard this morning that we break each and every one of them. And so, Father, we plead that you would forgive us of our sins. And you, as we confess our sins, that we've broken your commandments, we pray that you would, as we repent, and you would enable us to turn from them unto you. And so we would have that real, true repentance unto life. Father, we pray that you would mortify or put to death the sin that remains within us, that even those sins of omission and commission, even the ones we don't realize we've committed, we pray that we would see them and understand that we have committed them and turn from them unto you, to be satisfied not in the things of this world, but in the things of Christ and of the church and of the gospel and of your word. Pray in all things that your name would be exalted as high as the heavens are above the earth. And Father, we pray that you would be with those who are sick in their bodies. You would heal them. We pray for Dina. I do praise you again for the birth of the babies this past week. And the Maine's granddaughter, and then Becky and John's new son, Jerkooch. And we pray that you would be working in their lives and ways in which the word is shared with them, that the gospel would be proclaimed to them, even through grandparents and parents. I pray that at an early age, they would, even now, if it be your will, they would turn to you and love you and believe in faith, which produces good works. Father, we pray that for all our children, all the children of this congregation, that you and any others who would have that false profession, who have led a lie or played us to be the fools, Father, we pray that you would grant them faith too, that they would not be living a lie any longer, but they would live the truth in accordance with the truth. Father, we pray as we continue in worship, as we go to the book of Daniel, that again you would cause us to see that your Son is King over all, and that you would grow us in that understanding of what that means and how that applies to our lives. And these things, we pray that you would help us and enable us to learn and grow in wisdom and faith by your Holy Spirit who works within us in our hearts and with the word as it is read and preached. We pray that the word would be in the prayer even today in our singing. As we sing, the word would be a means of grace to us as we believe by faith what we hear. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.